When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Harry Challenger. Before I bring him on, I want to remind you, you can always get new regular episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin. It's where you get all our premium content, our regular shows, and all the premium content from all amazing content creators on Rockfin. We also have our merch store up. That means t-shirts, stickers, bags, and all kinds of cool stuff. Go check those out. That link is right there in the description. We also have a really cool new affiliate you should check out, especially if you want to see what goes on in our sky at night. Hoffman Optics at UFONightVisionGoggles.com. Check out their military-grade Gen 3 and beyond night vision goggles. You can see everything in the sky with these things. They offer UFO night vision tours. You can go into the night with this amazing equipment and see what is really in our skies. You can even purchase these awesome military-grade night vision goggles. Just be sure to use Forbidden One as a promo code in the order notes. And finally, if you're reaching that gray hair stage in life, do check out C60 Purple Power, which may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. I really feel amazing. Our pets feel amazing. That's right, you can get C60 for your pets. It's had amazing effects. Click the link in the description, check out what they have to offer, and you can get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Tonight, I want to welcome Harry Challenger. He is a UFO and alien contact researcher from near London in the UK. Starting from 1996, he was part of a UFO group called ELUFON that published a London-based UFO magazine called Down to Earth. He has a long-term interest in UFO journalism, editing the world's oldest UFO magazine, Flying Saucer Review, from 2004 to present. He has also founded the UFO Academy with Katrin O'Neill in 2010. Harry, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. Yeah, it's about 1:18 here in the UK, so it's early hours of the morning, but I'm bright and breezy.
Well, good. And I appreciate you joining us at such a early hour or late, depending on your view, but I really appreciate it. Now, unfortunately, you were unable to attend this year's MegaCon due to COVID restrictions, other difficulties, but we were able to hang out a bit the previous year. It was awesome. We had a great time. We got to do a lot of talking about some of the things that were going on at the time, and now so much has happened since then. Now, for your presentation 2 years ago, you showed some of the most amazing photographic evidence that I've seen when it comes to ufology and UFO research. I understand tonight you're going to go a little further and kind of explain the alien personalities that you've been researching and looking into for a very long time, and I'm very interested in that. Now, I'd just like to know, what are your thoughts before we get into that on this mainstream disclosure that's really kind of gained a lot of popularity? There's, you know, our own government is releasing Pentagon files. The media is talking about it more than I've ever heard before. Do you think there is a sort of nefarious agenda behind this, or are they trying to get ahead of something? What do you think? What do you think's going on?
It was interesting because even broach it seriously was a huge change. Just making a few serious comments on news shows But the limited footage, you know, we know, I'm going to say it, we know that the military all across the world have close-up photos and videos because they are seen, witnessed by people filming and photographing objects. So we know that. We know what they're showing us. I would say, and I've said it before on record, that it's probably a hybrid technology belonging to us because they control everything. And whenever they show anything, it's something that they've got or something they've contrived. They'll never show raw footage. It won't happen. It doesn't happen. So for me, this has been an exercise in building public expectation, which is what they've done. It's like orchestration. They've built the expectation and then they've given it a controlled disappointment, which is telling people, well, it's still very ambiguous and we think it could be a rogue state somewhere in the world. It could be some technology from two or three main actors in the world, or it could be something we don't know about. So they basically controlled disappointment, I think, this one. It was, I would say, psyops. I think we're never going to get anything from our authorities. So it's a choice then how we react, because my view is, if we're superior to them, which they know we're going to be, the future researchers are going to know more about it than them. They're going to be closer than them. And it's up to them, do they coexist with us? So my view has been not to be anti-establishment. I don't take an anti-establishment view. I take a view that we are citizens of the West. I'm aligned with the Western powers, and I respect those in authority. But I also know their fear that they have of this getting out of control. So my view is to create calm and order and level-headedness among the population, the complete opposite, really, of what goes on normally, and then create something that they can see is actually useful. Because at the end of it, I'm going to say it, their number of personnel is minuscule. If anything was to kick off, the phrase kick off, something happened, and suddenly we had to mobilize, they don't have the personnel. So they have basic Sun Tzu, the art of war, requires you to have forces that are concentrated. They don't have that. They don't have any forces to concentrate. A space navy and a few highly trained people in aircraft and various people in bunkers are not going to be able to deal with any event that happens. They're not going to be able to deal with it because they just haven't spread it wide enough. Now, the problem is they can't spread it because the technology leads to superpower status. So how can they allow countries which are rogue states to get superpower status? They can't. So it's my view is that we have to show governmental thinking from the public, good order in what we do, and definitely be supportive and to show them that we're actually capable of living and taking this on as responsibility and making up the numbers when the time comes. Because one day this is going to be a mobilization when people realize something is occurring, which is off the menu at the moment. So what we have at the moment is very little hard, solid news evidence. But at some point that will change, and we just don't, they don't have the people. So they better rely on highly skilled members of the public who may actually be more skilled than they are, which they don't like, but they are going to be. So you might as well come to terms with it. There's high IQ people all over the place out there among the general public, and they will outperform people who are in, shall we say, chains of command, people who are specialists in small units that are studying this. They're going to be outperformed. So you're going to come up with a policy. That's my message to them. We can continue to do controlled disappointment, if you like, or until you come up with the next psyops that you want to come up with. But we're going to advance, and we're going to be superior to you. So you had better cooperate with us because you haven't got the numbers. You cannot react to any event. You don't have the numbers. You need the public. You need the public ready and intellectually able to deal with it. So that's, I'm very uncompromising at the moment, aren't I? I'd say I'm quite ruthless tonight. But yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, you know, sometimes that's what people need. And I think that the majority of the population, no matter what it is ready to find out that, you know, we're not alone. We never have been. And I think that this has been somewhat of a baby step to get some of those people who were kind of scared to talk about this subject, maybe push them a little bit further. So that's one good thing I see. Now, the best part about independent researchers like yourself and the research that you're doing is you're going deeper than any other ufologist that I've seen, as far as evidence, as far as things that you can point out to us, as far as testimony and people who have actually experienced these things. And it's, you're at the cutting edge of this stuff, and I'm really looking forward to your to what the slides you have to show us tonight. About alien personalities, right?
Yeah, so everything that comes from an alien culture is cultural diffusion. Everything. So cultural diffusion is what happens between countries now. So I'm getting, you know, living in Britain, I'm getting cultural diffusion from America talking to you. But it's cultural diffusion. So when we see craft, which are not manufactured by human hands, or we see the actions of alien agendas, we're seeing a diffusion of culture and personality. And we need to understand from that, maybe more than what anything else, what these creatures or these entities are about. So we can begin to understand where we're going with them, because we have to work within their sort of sphere of thinking. So like there's a sphere of thinking that is unknown to us, is the alien mind. And we're not very good at predicting their behavior for a start. We don't seem to really know what their agenda is, other than the very, very, the ones which are clear are that there's a breeding agenda, which is this hybrid program, which most people say, yeah, there's definitely samples taken. People see hybrid human alien type beings. That's one agenda. But all the other agendas, like, are they going to advance the human race? Are they going to, create a bridge, shall we say, between the civilization, something diplomatic? Or are we going to be living in this dark age? You know, for me, I look at the kind of the dark ages where we have no history books. That's what we had after the Romans. Between the Romans and the sort of Norman invasion, we have about 450 years where we have very little record historically in Britain. And that tells you we don't really understand the personality of that era. We can talk about the Saxons and we can talk about Vikings and things, but we don't know the personality. We just know a few things. We've got three or four sources, three or four books that are the main sources for maybe 450 years of history in England, which is hugely important, British history. And then you think, well, we need to know the personality of beings that are not even revealing themselves, who are vastly intelligent. And we'd better know their personality, because we're going to need to react accordingly once we know what, when they appear at some point, when we start advancing ourselves, something's going to come and we'd better understand it pretty quick. So historically, we've been in situations where we've met equivalent civilizations to our own. So we've never met something that's so advanced that it has technology that's beyond our comprehension. And therefore, we're into new territory. So for me, it's the personality is the only thing we can really get. I mean, what you get as a feel from these things, what they're interested in, who are they interested in? How do they react? What do their ships do? You know, I think there's a message in everything that they have. Every single, from the moment they appear as a single light in the sky to the moment they might, fly a craft past you, or when, if a humanoid walks past you in the street, everything they do should be read. And I've heard a good contactee, I recorded him talking about this, and he said, you should look at it in every possible direction. And that's how intelligence gathering works. It always comes back to code breaking with me. We're dealing with a code of personality. We don't know anything about these people. We don't know anything about them.
Right.
They could be beautiful. They could be tyrants. We have no knowledge. So
yeah, it's great. You treat it like a detective work almost, as an investigation. That's the way it should be.
I think so. And then we if we state the obvious, which I feel some of the weaknesses, you know, I've sat in ufology and read a lot, and all these books behind me, which are historical ones mainly, are and also journals and letters and things that are from different eras of ufology. They give us evidence of the personality of that era. So the 1950s has a very straightforward kind of engineering personality for UFOs and straightforward astronomy based. And then you get into the 60s, the mystery starts to open up. We start to wonder what on earth it is. By the 70s, it's coming less comprehensible. And by the 80s, we don't know what the hell's going on. So we're actually going away from our certainty rather than towards it. And I just feel that, you know, I'm looking at evidence and I just want to look at images and encounter reports, which we call case histories. and start to build a picture of what these things are like when they approach you. I always come back to it. We need to try and train ourselves to understand an encounter, train ourselves to understand what are they, why are they interested in you on that day, at that time, at that place? And I often say to people who are witnesses, I say, what were you doing at the time? And then they might come up with something like, oh, I was meditating a lot and I was doing, I don't know, some sort of catharsis of some kind in your life where there was something big happening. And that's the kind of thing that interests me, is like, what was happening to the person in their life? What's their, I'm just trying to think what we got into. What's their location, of course, like where are they near? And some of the things I've looked into is where people don't realize they're near a research establishment, or they don't realize that they're looking at, they might be working in a university where there's cutting edge technology going on. So you've got to look at what's happening around you. So one of our great cases from FSR was a wonderful lady who saw, I think it about must have been about 1994 or something like that. She was at a university in America and they were testing the synchrotron ring of an accelerator. You know, they were testing it. And at the time she had a humanoid encounter and a craft encounter. They were testing the ring and they were running huge numbers of electron volts and trying to create like a collimated beam. And the craft was over the facility. It was Stanford. And there was a being in the college who was walking around. Now that for me gives me an idea. They're watching that bit of science going. And the good phrase I used, and I do say it's a good phrase, they were watching the discoveries and the non-discoveries. Do you see what I mean? They're watching the non-discoveries as well. It's what we don't find out they're watching. They're watching the tuning of the technology. So you wonder, how often are they there?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like, say, for example, I may have looked into high-speed centrifuge magnet facilities somewhere. I may have looked into it and found a whole cluster of sightings. They're watching the centrifuge magnets being tested. It might just have been that number of sightings in that location may have coincided. Now, obviously, that gets into top-secret research, so we can't talk about it. But it gets into the answer. What are they watching? They're watching innovation. They're watching novel behavior. I believe they're watching people create structural change and create change that they see as something they're interested in. So there you go. There's personality straight away. They're looking at our discoveries and non-discoveries. And they're looking at our international collaboration. They seem to be hugely interested when we start collaborating with each other. They're very interested in that. They're very interested in like new ideas per se, like new concepts.
I think seems like they're kind of like following our evolution, even the way they present themselves, you know, back in the early 20th century, presenting themselves as airships and then the saucers. And then now we have these orbs and glowing Merkaba lights and all these different types of things that seem to have evolved with our consciousness through the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that obviously they play with our perception. They're certainly in our heads. I mean, some of the most basic stuff you learn when you get into encounters is that they penetrate your mind. So if, you know, that's pretty much a violation in our culture. So an alien mind will penetrate your mind. And if you're going to have communication, they're in and out of your head. And that's it. And unfortunately, because it does resemble mental illness, some of that, because people who have like thought projection ideas, etc., that's a grade of mental illness. But what I'm talking about happens to groups. So I've stood in a group and we've all had our brains accessed. That's the kind of thing. So we can't have all had the same hallucination and we've been in the presence of a craft. And they'll drop ideas into you. So there's a lovely phrase that came from the friendship case called meiotics, which is this lovely old Greek term for giving birth to knowledge. So I can't put a piece of knowledge in your head. I have to make you give birth to that knowledge, which is what the friendship case researcher, Stefano Brecchia, I think it was, he talked about the meiotic kind of vision of what he thought was behind the friendship case. And it was provoking thoughts in people, but they have to give birth to them. And some of these were fundamental human emotions, such as fellowship. Fellowship is hugely important in the friendship case, hence the name. So I would have to work with you, because like, with you and me, is it Chris, isn't it? Chris, we are like, I'm terrible, it's late at night. We have a connection that they're interested in because we have fellowship. It's like a brotherhood. And what I noticed when I started going to the modern UFO environments is the number of people who call each other brother, which is very strange. And I know that if I look at my contact cases, that's a phrase that came up a lot. So personality would suggest they like human bonds of fellowship. They like trust. They like maybe civilized people who have self-control, who have a lot of spiritual kind of core to them. So they don't want a showman. They don't want somebody who's trying to get a quote every week to get to the front of the media scrum. They want somebody or people who are capable of just doing the work. And I always come back to what, when I look at people who get contact, they have to go out and pursue it. So the friendship case starts with a guy who has 6 months where he stands outside at night by the coast. I think it's a place called Pescara. I don't know my Italian maps, but it's like a very nice warm part of Italy. And this guy's out at night standing on cliffs, on beaches, until he makes contact. So his act of going out is the personality that they're looking for, because that's actually in the Billy Meyer case. I know people see it's controversial, but the Billy Meyer case, he goes out for 6 months to a year looking at these lights in the distance, trying to figure out where things are happening. I could say I've met a number of contactees who are outside when everyone else is in bed, and they're getting wet, or they're getting cold, or they're getting scared, and they're standing out, reaching out to these people. It's an act of personality to do that, to actually believe strongly enough that they'll come. And you know what? They do. So for me, that's personality. So when people say, what do I mean by personality? It's like the two sides, really. They're watching us and we're watching them. And what we're looking for is the next level stuff. We want to get to this point where there's dialogue and there's like fellowship between humans and them. And the kind of friendship you get is a very, very strong core friendship with these things. And when I talk to my contactees who supplied these pictures, when they say, I say to them, I've got to be diplomatic, you know, I've got to go and sit with these people and negotiate. They say, no, they're here to be friends with you. You build the friendship. You don't just go there with a list of demands or something. You go there with friendship. So for me, there seems to be like maybe a cultural personality here that we are actually meant to be going to them on a friendship level to get the thing started, rather than having a vision of transforming the earth and changing the world.
Now, so, I can see how this can be very, I guess you could say, confusing for some people because of the interpretations of the intentions of these beings from different people. Some people can take the friendship case and say, oh, no, they're giving this information and they're deceiving you to lead you down a different direction. Well, if you look at the information, you know, they're deceiving you with kind, loving, information and things that seemingly would help humanity. I don't understand some of that, but I think that the interpretation of a lot of these contact is, affecting people's interpretation of whether they're malevolent or benevolent, or should we be talking to these beings, or should we trust them? Things like that, along with the misinformation that's coming out about everything right now.
Well, it is, because there's no clear thread. I mean, my view is trying to create a UFO subculture that actually feeds people a direction. So I've taken a view, when people talk to me, I said the most important thing we need is a direction, which is adaptable. I mean, I don't tell the people just to go straight for one thing, but you need an adaptable direction. You need to have somewhere we're going. So I don't see that at the moment coming from the mainstream. There's no direction. So I certainly will be doing that. And it will be internationalism, and it will be a higher form of human honor code, would be the key to it. We're all bloody awful as human beings. So I'm not saying we're all going to go out and be saints. I'm saying there's an honor code in our dealings with this. So I am not going to try and tread on your head to get to where I want to go. When I know that you have the same objective, I have to respect that this, whatever we're going to achieve with these things, when they see us collaborating successfully and forgetting about our differences, that's a huge step that they'll come for. They like it. I've seen it, tested it, and they love it. They love it. That seems to be this idea of humans putting the barbarity behind ourselves. So this human, there's a phrase, human competition. Someone talked to me years ago who was in the know, and he said, our story down here is human competition, which is a natural state, but it means that we can't collaborate. We can't work together. And that's the problem. We have agendas that are constantly at odds with each other. So for me, this personality thing is, if they react strongly to us working together and doing it internationally, which I know they do, we need to create that. It's not a choice for us then. We've not got the choice of hating each other anymore or distrusting each other. We just have to say, I might not agree with people's agendas, but I still have to work with them, because otherwise we're going to continue like we have done. There's no direction. So for me, it's, you know, I've got some strong ideas about where I'm going, and people will gradually see them manifest, hopefully now in a post lockdown era. Let's see what I can manage. I've been waiting a long time, but I can show you some pictures and sort of talk my way through this.
Definitely. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. So it's the first one is, I'll just get it up on a share, and then you can tell me if I can see it. That, and then there. Can you see that?
Yes, so I see.
Now,
it.
I've had this experience, and what happens is the most basic thing you can have with a UFO is where it starts signaling. Now, I know Stephen Greer talked about this in the past and various others, but the most simple thing that can happen is a light to go on in your direction. And then what do you do to respond? You know, obviously people then have a code. Now, I have a code that John Enoch has seen that I use, which gets a response. But there were, back even in the Warminster era, which is a UK 1960s era, there were set response codes. One of them was flashing three times, walking about 10 feet, and then flashing another three times. And that was the old Warminster code. And they knew, anyone who knew that was a Warminster guy, because that's what they used on Cradle Hill. And that went on for about 15 years of vigils. So for me, it's that first thing. The personality is that alien is flashing a light to see if you respond. If you just look in wonder and go, oh, well, that's amazing, look at that, and you don't respond, you failed. You have to respond, and it has to be from within. You have to be on the core again that you realize what this means. It's huge when they stop and they signal to you. I've seen a signal before where I flashed a torch and my power went off in my house at the time, and everything went off and on again. That was the flash they used back, if you see what I mean. They just inhibited my entire electrical, and you could hear the answer phone come back on, and you could hear all the fridge and everything boot up again. And it was kind of close encounters. It scared me a bit because I saw the object. I thought, right, I'm going to give it my flashes. And it flashed back by taking out my power. Just, it was quite, you know, strong. So I'll just move along another picture. Now there's a different color, but my view is this picture is a UFO. It's not just its propulsion. It's sending a single beam, and it's going through a color sequence. So once you get past looking at the flash, you can then start saying, well, let's look at the color sequences. And you're starting to see their technology. They're giving you an insight. So there are pictures, which I'm not showing today, of color sequences, banding. You know, these are almost like barcodes of color running across the surface of the craft. They're signaling with that, and that's their personality, to give you a glimpse of how they operate. So I think that, you know, this picture, which is so weird.
Oh, I love this picture.
Yeah, it does look a bit saucepan-like, and I've got to say, it's probably meant to. The figure, he's a hybrid of some kind. He's got a black polar neck sort of jumpsuit on, and he's standing at the window.
Yeah, guys, I don't know if you can see this. It looks like windows to a ship, and this being looking out of the windows. Looks like he has a black jumpsuit or something on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've been told he's a hybrid. He's got a big head, basically, which is a very hybrid-y thing to do. Again, right. His personality is he's showing himself. He's showing that he's a hybrid, which is still is theoretical because most people don't ever see them, or even like 99.9% of the population don't even know what a hybrid is. So it's only in ufology that we know what these things are. And they're halfway houses. They're half human, half alien. So the personality is someone with a bit of us, just like we have in sci-fi, and a bit of them. And they're a bridge between us in many ways. And we look at them and they're looking at us, or, you know, studying us and watching us watch them. And for me, the personality is to show themselves. What I find interesting is how they stand like sentinels. I've never seen them do anything flamboyant. There seems to be a cold, quiet dignity about how they approach us. I think they've got contact protocol. They won't do anything that's very dramatic. They won't be, making displays of any kind. They just right. stand and watch. And there's a lot of good pictures that I have access to where people are just standing and watching. And that's personality. They've got some sort of decorum. That's another similar picture of, you know, it's just bizarre. That's all I'll say. Now, this one reminds me, Blade Runner's a great favorite film of mine. I've watched it a few times, the original. And if you remember in Blade Runner, there's a photograph of the replicants, and Harrison Ford's character is using that photograph, the only thing he's got, to try and find the various of four people who are artificial humans. Now, this strange picture, which is blurred out because that's how they operate, is a human being, I think, of some kind sitting, as far as I can tell, on a seat, probably on board a craft, and there's a tall being standing up behind. So you're looking at
yes.
an encounter photograph, but it's blurred deliberately. We're not allowed to have 20/20 vision of this yet, but at least we know where it's going. This picture came out in probably about 2018, I think, something like that. It's telling me that just being in their presence, it's like a message. And as I say, in the film, he uses it to hunt down the replicants. And it's obviously a horrible...
As a reminder, you have photos from individuals that claim to have been allowed to photograph on and inside crafts.
Yeah. Yeah. So they don't get... You know, we're not children again. We have to go beyond being children. So we're used to Hollywood. We're used to seeing everything crystal clear. We're used to the plot being unfolded in front of us. We have no plot to unfold. We don't get crystal clear pictures. We get an idea of where they're going. This is their personality. They're showing people looking out, and they're showing people sitting in the presence, in my view, of an alien, what it would be like. And they give you just the blur of it, just almost like the subconscious flash of what it could mean. I'm pretty convinced that that this is the personality of the aliens. They're saying, we can stand right next to you. We can be your, we can be in your proximity, and we can stand next to you. And that's what you're going to try and like get your head around.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
But it's not like a movie. They haven't got any kind of like amazing message. It's just two people, one on a chair, one standing up. But it does remind me of Blade Runner and trying to detect, well, where did that happen? Who was there? Who's the person who's sitting in a sort of, as far as I can tell, a very casual top?
Yeah, it looks like he has maybe even like a hoodie on, a red hoodie or something. Yeah.
He's just lounging. And then there's the person behind is actually a very muscular, blonde, yes. humanoid, like that's what it is. I used to think it was a woman. I was thinking, oh great, it's a woman, you know, that's interesting. No, it's a man with frizzy sort of blonde hair, which we'd still, many of them could be wigs, these things. I mean, there's always a debate whether these blonde aliens have wigs on or if they've got hair of their own. But my view is that's telling me the personality of the craft and the personality of the people. And then this one, which is a very strange picture, I can reduce it a little bit because it gets sharper. Let's see if I can. Oh, it's gone too big. I can't reduce it any more than that. It's just the fact you see a silhouette. You see a silhouette that was taken in an alleyway, and it's just a silhouette of a woman. There's sharper versions of that picture. That one's an enlarged. It didn't come out too well, but it's. That silhouette is like a woman looking down. And again, it's just a personality because she's very feminine and she's just keeping her head and face turned away. That's a message. You know, every picture, they're not going to just take pictures that are, I mean, this is just one of those gray heads. And it's just the eyes of the gray looking out the camera. It's not the greatest picture ever. It's just one randomly that I found.
But you can tell right away what it is looking at it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's got black pools of eyes. This one is, for me, is manifestation, but it's also personality because you're realizing this thing is coming from another reality into ours and it's forming itself into our reality. That's what we're stuck with, is this difficulty with dimensions. So they are transdimensional, simple as that. They're moving in and out of space. They are dominant in that environment. We are completely helpless. We can't do anything. We don't have the technology or the understanding. But when they walk through, they're being almost born into our reality every time they come through. And they're forming. And that's like a human alien forming as it walks through from their space into ours. That's what it says to me. And the personality shows the rawness of its flesh. It's just meat forming as it comes through and coming solid. It's something to take in. I'm not saying that I know everything about this stuff, but I've got an idea of what the zeitgeist is behind it. And I think that we're seeing every picture has its own sort of, you know, it sort of strikes you in the tummy. If you were standing there and that thing then becomes a human as it comes out, it starts off as just a straight line. They often do in these pictures. Then they fill out a bit and then they harden up. So for me, they're showing they're becoming flesh from some other state. So I'm just going through these. I'll keep going. Now that one's just on a strange shape on a stone that resembles an angel, but the angel's got its hand. This was a stone that was very peculiar from a contact case in the 90s I was involved in. And this strange angel figure, I took a picture of it. It appears on a stone that came. It's beautiful. It was like an eye. So it appears within an eye. And her hand is forward like that. And for me, that symbol comes through. There's other pictures in this sequence where you see a hand coming forward. That's extremely powerful. That's the gesture I think that they want, is this idea that their hand's coming forward. If you look at old medieval art, there's a lily that the angel's holding towards you, which represents knowledge. But they deliberately hand you something. They're not just, you know, that's the point where I really want to thrive. This was one I showed you last time, which is someone leaving a craft allegedly, and they photograph this figure.
And that
figure is, again, it's like a sentinel. It's just standing there. I find it interesting that there is right on its, on its forehead. Nice little sphere there. That means something.
I see that. That's cool.
That's a manifestation of some kind, in my view. It's just the idea. It stood in like a sentinel saying goodbye. This is how the original video was, which we lost. It was taken, this video. It ended up as being a set of stills. That's the way the craft was. It was on its side, hovering in the air. Again, they're showing, why would they go on their side? To show you that there isn't an up or a down where they work from. They are this strange color light system. Again, it comes up time and time again. There is a figure just about there. Let's see if we can blow that up a little bit. There's a figure just there, and it moves around through the sequence of pictures.
It looks like one behind it as well in the background.
Yeah, there's probably another standing there. There's one there. Of course, you know, we'd love it if it was crystal clear and we could see everything, but that's not how it operates. See what we can get out of this. Again, it's really just the structure of the craft. It's so luminous and light is so full. So it's like a diffuse light that doesn't leave you any shade. So in this room here, I'm surrounded by shade. UFO light would fill this room, there would be no shade of any kind. So whatever they've figured out how to diffuse light. And I think when we see the light on board the craft, I think we're actually seeing, like, that's a message in its own right, that they are bringing something of light into our world, that they're enlightened. You know, for me, I might be sort of sound crazy, but I mean, that's the very top of the craft. There's another shot. Let's see what we can do with that. These are very strange pictures. When they came through, they took a lot of getting used to. But I just see it as they come from a world of light. And again, we are, because of our lack of evolution, we've got 300 years of, you know, science since Newton. I always start with Newton as our beginning, because he basically created this mathematics that could navigate the solar system today. We could navigate the solar system using Newton's calculations today. That's the first real hard science. And we've got 300 years from there. And we're sort of acting as if we should, like, have the answers. Not with 300 years, we won't have the answers. This is just what looks like a craft coming up to the side, docking into that craft. Everything happens fast. That's very rapid. It would probably have been on the film. It would have been very rapid and odd.
You were saying how, you know, people want these sharp, crisp, clear photographs. Well, when you think about it, if you're trying to photograph something that's in a different dimension beyond our visible spectrum, how would you expect it to look, you know, if we can't see it with our own eyes? This is fantastic.
There's a figure there. Now, again, you're looking into their world, and it's a world of light. And it's very well structured light. So it's like intelligent light. You've got this green frame. You see that where the roof is? Yeah. This is a three-level craft. I saw this craft 3 weeks ago, but I didn't see the structure of it. I saw the illumination of it. And I got burnt and I couldn't look at the light. It was so bright. So the plasma is so intense, you can't make eye contact with it. You're sort of doing that. And it's glowing up. Like it just like they're running their revs, if you like, and they're giving you something that's so powerful that you can't look at it. That light is in this, like, there's a green structure. You can see it. There's a green structure. The parts of the walls and the roof are green. Then you go into the middle, it's more gold and white light in the middle. This is a designed environment. And then you get this figure who's standing with their back to you there. For me, this is like we are then seeing the personality of the craft. They've got a design, an interior design. The main structures are in green. The living accommodation is brilliant white. We're getting cultural diffusion. We're seeing an airlock, as far as I can tell. That previous picture was an object coming up to that airlock there of some kind. But this is a three-story craft. So you've got an upstairs story, a middle story, and a lower story. That's what this is. I mean, we don't, you know, I'm going with this. I mean, that's how I think.
That's the way it looks to me.
Yeah. It's just like that's personality. See, again, green structures, white core. Green is like the framework of this partitioning and walls. The brilliant white is then surrounding it from the inside. I mean, this all makes sense to me now. I'm sort of free thinking it as I'm doing it. And then there it's on its side again. This is the original, that all the images were on their side. They've all been uprighted. Yeah. Now, again, you see some red there. We're seeing some red. And you think, well, what's that? Because, like, we've got the white in the core. I think the red's the instrument panels. I know it sounds like interior design, first ever discussion of alien interior design. Red's the panels, green's the structure, white's the living space. Sounds crazy? That's fine.
Hey.
That we're getting somewhere. That's awesome. Is personality. They've got interior designers, and then this is like a sort of like a movement shot, an artifact. You can see the red again. Doesn't that look like panels to me? It's upside down.
Yeah, and it goes across the whole length of the bottom there.
Yeah, this is definitely. Like this makes sense to me. Maybe that this is how when they're operational. Maybe this is like a submarine. You know, they have the red light that comes on when they're operational. So you don't get light escaping and people being identified. So this is the upside down top of it. And to me, I'm starting to make sense of it. This is, fun, I suppose.
Oh, it's quite what it is. Definitely.
Now you can see maybe there's two figures there, maybe three. I'm not sure what I'm looking at here. You know, maybe that's a wall. I'm not sure what I'm seeing.
Right.
I'm seeing green structural walls. I'm seeing white living space. What are these? I mean, are they, I don't know what they are. Maybe they're partitions. They can't be people. Maybe they are something I mistook for people. I don't know.
Yeah. They look a little strange to be people, but.
Oh, I know what they are. They're seats with people. They're seats. Look.
Oh, yes. I can see. Yeah. They do.
There's the head. There's the back of the seat. There's the head, back of the seat. Three people with their backs to us. I mean, that's just discovered now. We're the founders of that bit of
information. That's cool. Wow.
It's like, these are strange pictures and we're trying to make sense of them. You know, you can say they're bullshit, excuse my language, or you can say they're something of a clue. They're not going to show us everything. I won't do that again. Don't worry, that came out. So we're jumping.
Oh, no, that's okay. You can curse as much as you want on my show.
So this strange figure, you know, that's where we started from. And now we look at him and, well, he's got red panel lighting around him. He's got green light behind him. I don't see the gold light now. Where's that? Maybe it's, I'm looking at a different angle. But, you know, for me, that's where we're starting to see personality. We're starting to understand, you know, that this would be, I want to
and
be.
And you can see, you know, some of the details in the design and the structure on the outside of the craft as well.
I've never understood what that is, for example. I have no idea what that strange thing is. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It looks like God knows what it is.
Right.
I haven't got a clue what that is. And then this is a nice image. Do you see another craft coming in again?
Yeah.
And then there's like a docking point. So whatever was going on, and it was happening fast. I mean, that's the key to it. People who don't think UFOs don't understand. This could be happening in milliseconds. You know, this could be slices of seconds. They're not living in our time and space in the way we are. That could have come in and gone out in under a second. It could have bonded with that. Something could have happened. For some reason, they could, like, you know, whatever that is. And then you notice all the red there of the instruments. Everything's really red. And I don't understand that, but it's, and then this is glowing red as it comes close. I mean, this is very helpful stuff. This is what I would call personality of the ship.
Right.
And I wish we have more pictures to work from. I'd love it if we did.
Yeah.
We don't.
The more pictures you can kind of piece together the puzzle of what their personality and what their agenda is.
We can start to build, you know, an idea of what the hell this is. You know, it's for me, it's like I'm trying to make sense of it. There's personality. We need to understand. Now, this one's nice. This one might be, I think that's a figure there.
Yeah, that's really clear.
So what we've got here is the green structure again. We've got the white living space. We've got a figure and one red panel.
Yeah.
Now, I think we had three chairs there before, if you remember where the figures were sitting.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about it, this all was filmed in less than 2 minutes, this entire clip. And yet you've got people moving and there's no time for them to move. So surely this is looking at a slice of time that's different, if you see what I mean. So there's the upstairs deck there, and I'm never quite sure why it looks so much smaller, but that's off an angle. Then you've got the middle deck, and there's a third deck below there. So it does look like a cake saver, I'd call it. The shape of these UFOs is as a cake saver. But again, it's got a personality, and let's see what else we've got. There's a lovely red instrument moment there, and I don't know why everything's gone red in that. But maybe we're seeing a slice of an instrument panel light, you know? Maybe, I don't know. Right. Maybe we're seeing... like that, those small lights there would make panels very good. You know, they could be panels. Let's see where we're at. Now, this is an old one. It's not very easy to view that. It was a figure looking out a window. Again, we've shown these last time. But the main thing to look at is this expression in the eyes. There is a female one that I still haven't found that I particularly like. I sort of felt was these figures are just... what can you say? That one is more intense, and this would be a younger being. So I could say, if I want to go by personality, that's a very firm-faced, young-looking one,
right,
if you see what I mean. And then if you go back to these look older. Well, that one looks young, but that one looks quite old. It's kind of like wrinklier. Its surfaces aren't as
and when
pronounced.
You can look at the difference, they actually do have different shapes in the eyes.
They
it's
do.
Not just you know, one big
these
black eye.
I mean, there's a theory. I'm not saying I know, because I don't know, that there are sort of like android type, gray type beings, and then there's ones who've got personality. These ones all have personalities and they have individuality. So there seems to be an android sort of humanoid who just walks around and does jobs. Right. And then there's these personality driven, and it's possible these are the psychic beings that run the psychic side of it. So you'd have like, I mean, you've got, this is the thing about psychic stuff. It's another huge realm, but it's to do with personality. If you were sitting in front of that being, he's going to be in your head and he's going to be giving you a flash information, like a core of data that you won't even know what he's putting into your head. He'll zoom it into your head. And that's why people have breakdowns and mental health issues, because some people can't take it. And its being will try and engage with you in that few moments. It's going to engage with you. So it's not just it's taking samples. It's going to try and influence you, but it won't give you obvious answers. It will just feed you. So for me, it's I like these because that was actually an organic living wall behind it. So I was told. I just like these. Not they're blurry.
Yeah.
But it's again, the light quality. Look at the light there. It's so bright. Why is it so bright? And yet it doesn't penetrate the dark around it. Do you see? So like all UFO light has a boundary. It's light that's coherent. It doesn't diffuse. It's coherent. It stays where it is. And it's just whatever's going on there. Oops. So let's see where I'm at. Just drop that. That's a good old jump there. And then there was craft that.
Oh, that's excellent.
Well, you go into the metal hull and then you're back to these. These are very early pictures from 2012. And it's an elongated picture. It's like it's been stretched, elongated.
Yeah.
This one was very peculiar. I liked it. I think one of the things I like about this is his reflection is on the back of that screen. His head is just there.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
And he's reflected in the back of that screen. And then there's a multicolor kind of spectrum to that. That's actually steam. So you think of microwaves beam, you know, burning a woodland and all the water vapor coming up like a cloud. So a craft comes down, it's emitting a huge spectrum of different things. It's ultraviolet, microwaves, visible light. There's a whole load of stuff that's coming off, infrared. And the microwaves, particularly when they quick burst of them come out, you get a big fog that comes out. That's why you see it in sci-fi. You see the steam around a craft. Now, people have seen swimming pools evaporate, water tanks evaporate, ponds evaporate. Really, what you're looking at is just microwaving of water. That's what you're seeing. So for me, that was a particular atmosphere, but it has personality in that guy is stepping on board and he's walking on. And then you've got this super polished floor, which is through the whole lot of pictures, is a super shiny floor, which, these are very bizarre and they're in the shadows. So again,
it's like a computer screen he's looking at or something.
Yeah,
looks like
these are monitors that they're using. Exactly. There's some elements that are recognizable from our culture. So you imagine if you were from New Guinea and you visited a city, you'd be looking around to see what would be something from your culture. And you might see someone with a walking stick and go, oh, we've got walking sticks. I remember those. Yeah, I know what those are. Yeah, just to see. But the shadowiness, I think, is deliberate. I think it's the personality is that to us, it's a completely unknown environment. So I think this is one of those craft. You know, the craft with all the lights. This is one. You're looking on board that craft you've just seen from the outside. And you're seeing what you're allowed to see, which is strange, super polished floors. You can see the shape of this craft there. It's exactly what you just saw in the other object. It's got that same round roof. It's got like a barrier, a dome. It's got like illuminated floor, like just at the floor where it meets the walls, there's luminous, there's an illuminating band there of some light. And these beings, there's a figure there looking, standing there. They're giving us the personality. I like this one purely. He's got a piece of some sort of light technology in his hand.
Yeah.
He's being, and I just like him. He's always been one. I've always felt he's showing you something. He's showing you a light of some kind. And the technology seems to be around that. This one is just a being. It's just a being, but you see bone and he's caught in slices. I like this. It looks like a fireman's helmet, but it's a craft. I think what I like about it is how luminous and smooth it is. So people who know that UFOs have a vacuum surface. They have a micro surface that is a vacuum when it comes powered up. So it's super smooth. It's like a shell or polished pearl. So if you go close to a craft, it's the smoothest thing you'll ever touch, as long as you don't touch it when it's on. And it's super smooth and it's polished pearl and there's no defects or anything. It's super polished. That just captures. I think that's a window. I haven't got a clue, really. It could be anything.
Right.
And then this metal UFO. So we see a metal UFO and we think, yeah, it's just a piece of metal. You know, but there's something about this metal and this light that it becomes amorphous. It's not fixed. So that at the moment looks like a classic object. And of course, there's a face in the window, which I like. And there's a lot of these things that have faces. This is the walking through. You know, when I said a being walks through and he starts off as a straight line. There he is. That's the being walking through the light. See how polished it is, like pearl. Oh, that's interesting. Polished pearl. And then again, we're back on board the craft. What do we see here?
This is great.
Polished floors.
Oh, very polished. You can see reflections.
Yeah, you could see. Now, of course, anyone could create this. We live in the age of graphics, but I'm saying that's what we're seeing on the other green images. The green craft is this. Yeah. This is what you're seeing when you're looking out. So, like, we get a view of personality, of their living space. They're living on this thing. This is like we're leaving behind like the blindness when we didn't know what we were seeing. So, you know, it's weird and wonderful. I'll go through some of these.
I think
beings looking at you. I love this one. Is it, you know, it becomes flesh. They become flesh as they come out. That for me tells you everything. So, I mean, I've given you about as much personality as I can give you.
Yeah, that's excellent.
I like this like little tree. This is the earth coming up. There's a lot of pictures like these that I love. And there's the saucer in the distance. And like you're looking at like terrestrial and something super terrestrial. It's something above and it's
blurring.
I like those. I like these sort of pictures. They touch me.
Yeah, yeah. That's
great. I think they are the what we need to be at going. We need to bring this zeitgeist in. We need to recognize what it is and get this personality where we understand who these buggers are that we're dealing with. So again, it's the same object. You see the tree, bits of bush, you see the object. I mean, it's probably a whole sequence of those. Now it's come down. Oh, you know, that's just, it's not quite here. That's why it's blurry. The light is not doing what it normally does. There's like a bubble around that. So you're getting the very edge of that. It'd be very easy for that to pull the air shut around it. It could just pull that around it. But the amount of Geiger Tesla in that magnet to do that is tremendous. It would like turn you and me into a puddle. That's what the difficulty is. That's the one that really got me. There was an engineer who talked to me about it. And he said, if you stand near that force, it should be able to bend the water molecules in your body and turn you into a puddle. So I'm not sure how true that is. But there's a point where water becomes bent. Now, I might be completely wrong, but I don't want to find out to become a puddle myself.
Yeah, it's just... No.
The kind of forces, I mean, it's a good point, a talking point. Would a super magnet that's off the scale in power bend your flesh? Could it do it? That's the debate. You could say, well, you're not magnetic. Yeah, but this thing is bending almost like space itself. I mean, is it going to bend you? I don't know is the answer. That's my physics weakness. I need a physicist to talk about that. So this, again, is like the mystery of the object. That's me. Just now, that's symbolic for me. I'm standing next to a tiny pile of stones there, and I'm acting like it's a peak. You know, like this idea of I've reached a peak, and it's like on Dartmoor.
Right,
that's it. And I think let's see if there's any. Now that was a weird one because it's actually translucent head. Now that's the only one I've seen. He's doing that. That is so weird.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. That's probably a good place to stop. I don't know how long we've talked, about an hour.
Yeah,
and
that's a little over an hour. Yeah, that was great.
That's where we're at. So, you know, I'll come out of this, the share now. I'll get out of the share to get me back. Am I back?
You're back now.
I am.
Yeah,
great.
Gotcha.
That's excellent. So,
yeah,
I've enjoyed sort of talking our way through it. I've enjoyed discovering things, talking to you, because I think now I've realized with that onboard shots and those external shots, or whatever they are, is the same craft.
Yeah, so that's excellent. This is some of the best evidence and kind of discussion that I think we need more of. I think we need to get more people doing this type of deep, basically detective work to figure out what's going on, what's in these being psyche, their agendas, their personalities. I mean, yeah, it's the only way we're going to find out a bigger picture in all of this.
I you know, my personality at the moment, I'm a bit edgy after all the lockdowns and things. And I think we have to be like people from history when they pushed really hard, they pushed to make things happen. And I see it like I have a great admirer of historical eras. The Victorians basically mapped the world pretty much in terms of finishing it off, mapped the world. They pretty much came up with the Industrial Revolution. They pretty much came up with medicine that then became medicine. And you go back through history, you've got the Greeks, you've got the Egyptians, and you think, well, this could be our time to become a super civilization. People talk about it, but this is our time. And it takes radical minds. You don't have to have anything specific. You don't have to be university educated. You have to have a mind that says, right, I'm going to go through this and I'm going to change this. And I'm sure the people who left all the great stonework in Egypt had that moment when they cut granite. And they had that moment when they could drag a huge block. And the Victorians worked out they could use steam and produce work from it. And you know what I mean? I'm going with this is, I think our generation, and I'm calling it us 50s and 40s guys, we could be the founders of the next big jump. Why not? Why not us? That's my point. Why yeah, not us? Yeah. Rather than saying, oh, we might have a conference and we might have a little discussion. No, I'm not here for that. I'm here for the super civilization. Thanks very much. I don't want to just have a nice conference. I love conferences and I love the mega conference. Everyone should go to that. It's the greatest thing. I love it. But that's the Nevada Nerga conference.
Yeah.
But I still believe that, like, we have to have action that happens that breaks these boundaries. And I think they are mental boundaries. They're all in our mind of what we're capable of. So maybe your channel is like, it's a vehicle for people to start talking about what we're really capable of. I don't know where it's going.
Yeah, I'd like to think of that. And I love that I can have researchers like yourself to share this phenomenal information with people, because otherwise they wouldn't have seen these amazing pictures and heard this discussion about what we're bringing to the table about, you know, ET personalities and things of this nature. I guarantee you that they've never heard anything like this before. So it's wonderful to bring this to the table and get this discussion going. And we live in really interesting times, and I'm going to be paying very close attention to everything coming out of the media and things that are happening right now, because I think this is one of the most important times in our modern history.
Well, everything's up to play for. Everything's to play for now. I think they got away with it up to now. I'm going to say it. The people who don't want change, who I have an idea who they are going to have change rammed up there. Keister, or whatever the word is, they're going to have change. It's coming for you. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have it.
Yeah.
And the people who want change, doesn't mean any change is good. I'm saying that what was capable of being done, because I look at 1970s ufologists and 60s, they were brilliant people, and yet they had so little to work with. And then they could only do so much. They wrote some really good stuff, but it didn't go anywhere. So I don't want to be looked back on in 50 years time when I'm pushing up daisies and it hasn't come to anything. I felt that from day one in 1996 when I started, that it's got to mean something. It can't just be more words. And these books are wonderful, but we need the civilization that runs with those books. These books are not going to be the answer. The answer is actually buildings, ports where you go out into deep space, civilizations that are interacting and interfacing with us, changing our bodies so we don't age and get ill. That's the big question. You know, the super brain that we can create, that's the imagination that I believe in. I don't want to be just sitting here and going, oh, well, I'm going to write a good book, and then I might write another good book, and then I'll do a lecture tour. No, not playing. Anyway, that's my
yeah. Madness. Well, hey, I love it because I think the play time's over. I agree. We need to see some action and let's get this super civilization going. Harry, thank
you
so
happen.
Much.
It can happen.
Yeah. I agree. I think it has to happen. And I want to thank you again so much for coming on tonight. Awesome information, great pictures and visuals as usual. And of course, we'll have you back on in the future as things progress in our crazy world.
Well, I hope to be like, I like your channel and I like you. I've spent time with you and I know it's all authentic. Everything you do, I got it straight away when I saw you talking to other people at that mega conference and I saw the effort you put in. And it is that. It's the fact you spend time and you're listening intently to get that message across that people are giving. And that's a rare thing to see. So definitely I'll be on your shows whenever. I'll keep awesome. Coming back. All right, so it's nice to see you, and nice to see your viewers, and you'll hear more. All right, I'll talk to you all soon. See what you think. I mean, it's up to you. You can discard it. Don't forget, I'm not worried if you don't like it.
Right.
Discard it. Don't bother me.
Yep, but just take a look at it. That's all we're asking because it, man, that's fantastic stuff. Harry, thank you so much again, and we will definitely talk again in the future.
Oh, I enjoyed that. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.